Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Are you kidding me?
You are looking live.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. This is the Friday, July 16th edition of the podcast. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And we have got Chris on the phone today. So Chris is making a little drive around town, doing his thing. So not too shabby. Chris, everything going well in your world?
Yeah, had to take a little half day, taking the dog to the vet to get his leg checked out.
Yeah, you've been dealing with the leg there for is it a year now?
Well, no, not that long, but they've been hurt for a while. We have the first surgery went fine. Second surgery is done, and we thought he was healing okay, but he's still limping real bad. So don't know if it's the knee, don't know if it's the hip, don't know if it's the foot, but.
Oh, okay, so this isn't just a checkup on what has already been done. This is something new then.
Well, it is a follow up appointment on what all has been done, but the fact that he's still limping real bad on it, I'm a little worried. I'm sure they're gonna hit me in the pockets pretty good. But.
Oh, probably so. We just had to get blood work done on our dog last week. So just all kind of mess going on with these animals, man. Maybe they are just now getting the anxiety from all the COVID stuff. Like everybody's going back to work, and they're like, wait, hold up. Like where'd everybody go? Like. That's just a guess. All right, we got some sports topics to discuss, and today it is literally all football. I'm pretty excited about that. So let's dive in. We're going to start with some college football. We'll run through the college, and then we'll hit on some of the big NFL topics that have popped up. But we will start off with Frank Solich retiring from Ohio, God bless America, the Ohio Bobcats. He was the coach there for 16 seasons. Won a MAC Coach of the Year award back in, I think, like 2013, if I'm not mistaken. He has won the MAC East 4 times, never won the conference, but just another reminder of how poorly he was treated when he was at Nebraska. But, you know, hindsight is 2020. He was replacing Tom Osborne. You hate to be the guy that replaces the legend because the expectations are all out of whack. He did the smart thing, man. Like when he came back to coaching, he went to Ohio, a place that would actually appreciate a guy and not expect to win, you know, 8, 9, 10 ball games every year. I mean, they made 10 bowl games in 12 seasons at one point. Like he did a fantastic job at Ohio, and this is a health related thing. Normally you don't see coaches resigning in late July, right before fall camp starts, but you know, you and I were both big fans of his. Give me your thoughts on him retiring.
Yeah, I hate to see it. We had high expectations for Ohio this year, And we both thought they can compete for the MAC, and he might actually finally get that that monkey off his back and win one of these jokers, you know. Maybe the team will rally around him and do something special. But no, I mean, he had a hell of a career. This is, you know, we talk about this all the time. When guys get fired from big boy jobs and then they go to the lower level and they start succeeding and everybody starts thinking, well, it's only a matter of time before they leave again. And I don't think that that's just always the case. And Frank Solich is a great, you know, example of, you know, sometimes money don't always buy happiness. All these guys live in big houses and are paid well. And you know, you don't have to be at the biggest school in the world to really enjoy your job and to you know, be treated well. You get to, you know, I'm sure these smaller schools don't deal with the boosters the way that the big schools do. They don't deal, obviously, with the media the way the big schools do. You get to do the parts you love so much more, and you don't have to deal with, you know, most of the parts that you hate.
Oh, yeah. No, he was just a ball coach, man. Like, that's what he wanted to do. He just wanted to coach ball. He didn't worry so much about recruiting and all that. Like, he'd go find him a, you know, a three-star quarterback with some upside, and he'd develop him up. And, you know, once every 4 years, they won the MAC East, and they really had a team and whatnot. And that's exactly what you're looking for. You're looking to develop kids and do something other than try and find, you know, NFL guys and whatever. He just wanted to coach ball, and he found somewhere that would appreciate him for just fielding a competent team every season. And he did a great job. So at Nebraska, by the way,
you knew they were.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. You knew they were never going to be in the cellar.
Yeah.
You knew they were never going to be in the tank with Frank at the helm.
Exactly. They were always something. At Nebraska, he was there for six seasons. He had three 10-win campaigns, won a Big 12 championship in 1999, and he went 58-19 in six seasons. Man, he was constant. I mean, it's crazy to think.
Not like, good enough.
Looking at that compared to what Scott Frost is doing now is mind-boggling. Like, that is it's so different. So different.
Well, I mean, when you look back at now the most recent success that they've had, when you look back, God, this is even almost 10 years ago, or however long ago it was, Bo Pelini won 9 games a year every year at Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And they fired the shit out of him. They ran him out.
Now, part of Pelini's problem was, like, Solich was always likable. Pelini was crazy, man. And a lot of people in that office didn't like working with him. And I can understand that, but...
He's a very, very chippy guy. He's a very unlikable person. Nobody's saying that. But they would. I think they'd take an asshole with 9 wins right now over what they got.
Oh, you're 100% right about that.
Because they're struggling to make bowl games.
Well, that actually brings us up to the next topic. So, one, you know, congratulations to Coach Solich on a fantastic career and whatnot, and best of luck in retirement. Hopefully his health issue, you know, clears up and he can live many, many more wonderful years on this earth, getting to enjoy not having to go through the stress of, you know, recruiting and camp and all that kind of mess. So, with that said, we'll move over to Nebraska, and Trev Alberts is the new athletic director. Now, this was hinted at for quite a while after Bill Moose retired or was shown the door. You know, they called it a retirement, and instead they paid him $3 million to go away. So, you know, take for that what you will. But Trev Alberts, you know, former All-American linebacker at Nebraska, he is the former athletic director at New Orleans. He is the new guy at Nebraska, and I think that this, if nothing else, takes a little bit of the pressure off of Scott Frost to have to win this season, because this is like, he's a Nebraska dude. Like, this is the proof that the good old boy network is still alive and well. There are still programs out there that feel like they have to hire somebody that has been at that school before, that understands what's going on. And I think it is a terrible decision, but you know, I've been proven wrong before. I don't know that I will this time, but I don't know even what to think about this. What do you think?
I think Nebraska's a long way away from being good. I think they're a long way away from being competitive in football, and that's the sport that matters.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know that the athletic director is going to help that. And bringing in another Nebraska guy doesn't help you see the problem any differently than everybody else already sees it. It tells you, I believe, that the boosters run that program, and you know, they're all real proud of their school and they've got great fans. It's just amazing to me that they would rather have one of their own than have somebody who can win.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. By the way, let me clear something up. I wrote down UNO. It's not New Orleans. It's Nebraska, Omaha. I knew that. I don't know what I was thinking. But either way, that's where he was at before. So he's always been in Nebraska. He has vowed that he is not going to micromanage the football program. He said he's going to focus on big picture concerns in the department. He said, I want to be helpful. I will not call a play. I don't tell coaches who to recruit, etc. You know, I think, like, he's passionate about Nebraska. Obviously, he's somebody that wants to come in and do something good for that school because, you know, obviously he's from there. That's where he went to school. That's his school. But the same thing could be said about Scott Frost. So, you know, constantly hiring from within, I don't know. I say within. Somebody that has been inside the program, I think that really limits your ability to hire the best people. I just don't understand why colleges continue to do this thing.
Well, it's not just that. It's you don't get to see the problem from any other perspective than the same perspective that you've been looking at the problem from for a long time. Okay?
Yeah.
Somebody has to come in there with fresh eyes and see how they've been doing things and then give them honest assessment of this is not working. So we need to do things differently. But if you bring somebody in who's already married into the way Nebraska does things, it just tells them we don't want to change anything we do. We just want different results.
Yes, and that is absolutely nonsensical. It's insanity to continue to do the same things over and over again. It's like, well, if we just tweak a couple of things, if we bring in, you know, it's I don't understand it. You know, I guess.
No, I mean, I can't imagine that because it would be the exact same everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would venture to say that you, an Alabama fan, see all of the pros and cons, the strengths and weaknesses of Alabama that almost every Alabama fan sees because you only see it from your perspective. I agree and see all of the problems LSU has that most all fans of LSU see. Because we see it from within our own fan base, within our own biases, you really need an outsider's perspective badly.
Yes, very much so. And yet, we're not going to get one at Nebraska for quite some time. He is going to be there for quite a while. He was a broadcaster, spent several years at ESPN back in, I think it was like the mid-2000s. And this was a guy that actually made Mark May sound incredibly intelligent. So, you know, it's not that they're not, but, you know, Mark May is not broadcasting anymore. He was kind of run out of there. Everybody's made jokes about Mark May online forever. And Trev Alberts was the worst at the broadcasting part of that than the other one. So, you know, I'm curious, how this is going to go. You know, part of me can understand a little bit, you know, they had Tom Osborne as the AD for a little bit, and then Bill Moos took over. You know, they've had four straight losing seasons. They are not used to that there. If they want to go back to the way things were, that's cool. But when things were the way they were not in the Big Ten. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Moving on to the Big 12. Did you see this today about the Big 12 officiating crews cutting down on celebrations and taunting? Have you seen that?
So I saw the taunting thing. Is this the horns down?
Well, it's not just horns down, but that's what it's basically. That's basically what it's about. So they're that's, cracking down.
Damn, we're going to agree. That's the reason this rule was written, right? Somebody 100%. In Texas got their feelings hurt.
Yes. So that's what I was actually going to bring up. It shocks me how much people are surprised at the fact that Texas is has so many friends in the conference, I guess the conference office, right? Like, that Texas is the Big 12. Like, that's all it's always been. They always get the favorable spots, the favorable every calls, everything. That's what Texas gets because they have for always and ever run the Big 12. They decide who gets in, who doesn't, all that kind of stuff. Now, they haven't been good enough to be able to stop Oklahoma from doing whatever they want, but the horns down thing, this cracks me up. Like, they're saying that, all right, so the quote from Greg Burks, it said, "It seems every year we talk about unsportsmanlike conduct. It's always an area that needs to be addressed. And what we're really going to be focusing on this year is taunting an opponent." He said, "We're not ever going to allow players to taunt an opponent. We have worked really hard on celebration issues. We tell players to find a teammate to celebrate with. It's not about you. It's about the team. I think we're doing a pretty good job in that area, but we are not going to allow a player to stand over another player and point in that player's face or humiliate another opponent." So they start talking about the horns down thing, and he said, let me put it this way. He said, if you do horns down to a Texas player as an opponent, that's probably going to be a penalty. If you turn to your crowd and do a horns down, you're not taunting an individual or an opponent, so it probably won't be a foul. He said, please note
it
that
it probably won't be a foul.
Yeah,
probably.
He said, please note that I said probably. We have to consider intent, and we have to consider situation, so those judgments I will leave to our individual officials. This is
100%. You're talking hand gestures here. You're talking hand gestures. And I'm not talking about the middle finger or grabbing your crotch, okay?
Yes.
We're talking about they do a little cutesy thing with their fingers, and you do that same cutesy thing, you just turn it upside down, and we're going to get a 15-yard personal foul?
Apparently so.
That's the same as targeting, by the way. That's the same punishment outside of the kid doesn't get kicked out of the game as targeting, but if he does it twice, he is kicked out of the game. Wow.
It's bananas. It is absolutely...
They're so thin-skinned, man. They are so thin-skinned. Just the biggest bunch of babies I've ever seen in my life. And this is why they can't be good at anything, okay? Has nothing to do with the coaching, has nothing to do with talent. It is the people that run that thing have their priorities so jacked up that they care about this stuff right here. They get their feelings hurt about this stuff right here.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. If your team is really, really good, you are never going to worry about whether an opponent does horns down. Because if they do horns down and you're going undefeated, they're going to look like idiots. Like, that's all it is. So I don't understand why Texas worries so much about this stupid horns down thing. Like, make the other team shut up. Give them a reason to not do it. It's very simple. But this surprised me today with the amount of media and the amount of people online that don't get it.
Gary, I hope that when they open up with Louisiana and when they play Arkansas – and they have non-Big 12 officials officiating that game. Listen, this is not an NCAA rule. This is a Big 12 rule. And I hope those teams, every time they do something good, I hope they throw the horns down. I hope they do it right in their face. And I just want to watch them cry and whine about it. Because this ain't a college rule. This is not the rule that everybody in the country is playing behind. This is your conference is doing this. They created a rule specially for you.
Yes. Yes, and it is absolutely ridiculous. They talked about a lot of other things. You know, Oklahoma State does the
gun.
No, not the gun. The video board with like yellow lines right behind the field goal posts.
Okay.
So they you know how they would do that to kind of I guess confuse the kicker. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that is going to be an example of unsportsmanlike conduct going forward. So they cannot do that anymore. So there's a bunch of other stuff.
That actually doesn't bother me. That's something that I'm not a huge fan of. Is strategically placing your video board behind your thing and then using that to try to because just think about if we did that in basketball, And we're like, we're going to be willing to give up a section of the student section to put a video screen there. And we're just going to throw like crazy wave designs to where you can't, shoot a free throw.
Yeah, can't focus on free throws.
Now you're actually affecting somebody in the game. And nobody outside of the field of play should be able to do that. But turning the horns down or you got this little cutesy hand signal and you turn the horns down for it. Like, come on. That's such a baby thing to do. When TCU plays Houston, Houston does a shocker to make their little HU with their fingers.
Yep.
Like if you were to turn that down, will TCU get a 15-yard penalty? Is it the same thing, or is it just to protect Texas?
I'm gonna guess it's just Texas. I'm just gonna guess it's Texas.
Like if you're Oklahoma and you do the guns down instead of the guns up at Oklahoma State, is that gonna that going to, you know, is that a 15-yarder?
I highly doubt it. I mean, so, I guess if they do it to the Oklahoma State player, maybe. But, you know, we'll see. I have a feeling this has more to do with horns down than it does actual taunting or celebration penalties.
Oh, yeah. And they I guarantee you all the extra stuff that they put into this is all language that they created on the fly because they couldn't make a rule just for horns down.
Yes. Yes. You're
right. They literally spent time and energy and resources on figuring out the right way to write a rule to stop the horns down thing because it hurts Texas fans' feelings so bad.
Yeah, it annoys me to no end. To no end. All right, let's move on to the NFL.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
We'll start off with something that we don't always like discussing or ever like discussing, but it appears that free agent cornerback Richard Sherman has some issues. He was drunk and belligerent, threatening to kill himself during a confrontation with family members on Wednesday morning, early Wednesday morning in Seattle. A woman who identified herself as his wife called 911. And so this is, I hate when these legal terms don't really explain exactly what was going on. So all day on Wednesday, there was this story that was going around explaining, like, are saying that Richard Sherman was arrested on suspicion of burglary, domestic violence. But typically that's, you know, beating up your partner or whatever, right? But this situation was not that. Ashley Moss, Sherman's wife, asked for immediate assistance while her husband was, quote, being aggressive, sent text messages, trying to leave in the house. He's being aggressive, wrestling my uncle, threatening to kill himself. He said he was going to hang himself, like all of this kind of stuff. And she asked the officers, please don't shoot. That's what I'm asking for. It's just this whole thing. Apparently, he drove his SUV into, like, a closed zone, hit some concrete. Like, that ended up being a felony. I don't even know what might have been going through his head because Sherman is an incredibly smart guy. But this is kind of terrifying, right? Like, what were your thoughts when you saw this story?
So, once I actually got through what actually happened, it's a sad story. It's a very sad story. This guy's obviously got demons. He's facing stuff. We've talked about this in the past. Players deal with this. People deal with this. We as humans, based on the world we live in today, seem to have just far more stress and pressure put on us than we've ever had throughout history, probably. And, I can't speak to what he's going through personally, but it's not good and it's not fun and it's scary. I'm sure he's afraid. I'm sure his family's obviously terrified. And when you listen to the 911 call, it's rough. It's rough. That operator just did not have any compassion, didn't seem to care, didn't seem to really recognize that this, she didn't treat it like a proper emergency, I didn't think. I thought that was pretty bad. I get the request of, I want help, we want somebody to come to our house, but understand that he's not an open threat right now to anyone, and don't come in guns a-blazing, please. Like, I'd like my husband to be alive. The journalism on this, I thought, was about as shoddy work as we've ever seen journalism in a long time.
It just seemed negligent.
To all the information that we have.
Yeah, it was just negligent.
It was bad. They referred to her as his ex-wife multiple times, multiple sources, multiple reports did, and no, he's my husband. That's my, I'm his wife, not his ex-wife. You know, he didn't break in, because when you read a story that, you know, he's arrested for burglary and domestic, you know, whatever.
Domestic violence.
And domestic violence. And you see ex-wife, like, you're thinking O.J. Simpson type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where my brain first went. Like, oh, man, he had a problem with his ex, and he went over to kill her. And no, we're not even close to that. But thank God for great journalism, we get the shittiest part of the story that gets a ton of clicks and a whole lot of traction. And so those guys' advertisers are really happy, and their bosses are really happy. But everybody involved and everybody who read it are not happy and are as misinformed as you could possibly be. There has to be punishment for that. There has to be answers for that. I don't know how to stop that in our world.
I don't either. I think what it is, like, people run with the story as soon, because people do follow these police blotters and see exactly who's getting arrested and what. As soon as they see something, they just roll with it. And they don't get the actual facts of the story before they roll with something. And that's why sometimes this legal language can be a little bit confusing, and it can shed a bad light on a story. I mean, in this situation, yeah, I guess technically it was burglary, domestic violence, but this was not at all what you would think it was. And, you know, yep. I hope that he gets help. He is still the vice president of the Players Association, right? So that's going to be the NFLPA Executive Committee. He hadn't been picked up.
And there's a really good chance that he'll step down from that. I don't know that he's playing this year. I don't know. Did the 49ers re-sign him?
No, he's still a free agent. Yeah, he's still a free agent right now.
I thought he was still on the open market. This isn't going to help him get a job, and I don't think you can be that player's representative if you're not an active player. So I think regardless of this situation, I think he would be stepping down from that. But he needs to put as little on his plate as possible right now and just take care of himself and get himself back together. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, we hope he gets the help that he needs. Richard Sherman, incredibly entertaining guy. Hopefully he can get things straightened out and get back to, you know, coming out and entertaining the masses. You know, that's not what he needs to focus on right now, but we always love watching him. So moving on, there was a top 10 list that popped out, and you brought this to my attention. I had not seen it, but when you brought it up to me this morning, I went and looked, and I noticed this is the ESPN execs, coaches, and players top 10 NFL quarterbacks. And, you know, they go through, Jeremy Fowler goes through and gets 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to help stack the top 10 players at different divisions, or at different positions, excuse me. Quarterback this year, I feel like there was a massive, massive oversight here, or they could just be, I don't know exactly what's going on. Okay, so they did, I pulled it up now. I'll go ahead and read off the top 10, okay? One is Patrick Mahomes, two, Aaron Rodgers, three, Tom Brady, four, Russell Wilson, five, Josh Allen, six, Matt Stafford, seven is Dak Prescott, eight, Lamar Jackson, nine, Justin Herbert, and 10, Kyler Murray. Now, you might have noticed, and we'll get to the actual rankings here in just a second, but you might have noticed there was no Deshaun Watson on here, and I think he easily could have been number two on this list.
Well, I was just about to say, he's without question in the argument for top four, okay? That's undebatable, not up for discussion in any shape, form, or fashion, and could be top one, two, or three. Like as short as one, if you want to grade on who's done what with the least amount of help. Okay.
Yeah. So no, you're right. By the way, the editor's I note now. They released this and they didn't have any mention of Deshaun Watson, and now the editor's note that they have put on here says the original quarterback ballot sent to voters included Deshaun Watson, who finished fourth in last year's poll. He said Watson was removed from the rankings, however, due to his uncertain status for the 2021 season. It says he faces 22 active lawsuits alleging sexual assault and inappropriate behavior. At least 8 of those have spoken to police, according to reports, and the NFL is investigating the matter. So that's why they ended up not including him. But I feel like you should probably say that on the front end, right?
Yes. So when I read that this morning and I told you about it, that wasn't on there because that was the glaring. What I was trying to figure out is this top 10 from last year? Is this top 10 just this coming year? What we only think of this coming year? Is it top 10 for like the next 5 years? Because if that's the case, all of these things need to be rehashed. You can't have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady behind Patrick Mahomes if you're using just last year's stuff. One guy won the Super Bowl and the other guy won the MVP. So consider both of those guys should have been higher than Patrick if you were just looking at last year's. So you can't do that.
Let me explain to you what their objective is. It says the objective is to identify the best players right now for 2021. It said this is not a 5-year projection or an achievement award. It's who is the best today. Pretty simple.
Well, I know he's not playing today, but Watson's the best today. Like that. So anyway, neither here nor there. So let's take that part out of it. What do you think of the list? And do you think they got anything glaringly right, wrong? What one thing I saw that I thought was interesting, this list almost, which is strange, because I wouldn't think coaches or executives would pay any attention to this, but this list mirrors the like MVP odds for this year almost to a T. Very closely.
I could see that. I will tell you this. I would not have Aaron Rodgers up at number two. I think that's a little crazy. I think, like, obviously with quarterback, you have to take into account what is surrounding them, right? Like, if you don't have playmakers, like, we have seen Tom Brady when he didn't have anybody around him. That was the 2019 Patriots season. But last season,
very bad.
You could easily say that Tom Brady was the best quarterback in the NFL based on the way that he played throughout the season. Patrick Mahomes, like, yes, great. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers, I'd probably drop down a little bit. Russell Wilson, I think having him up there is good, but you know, after maybe those top four, like, I don't even know what I think Dak above Lamar Jackson is a little crazy. Justin Herbert in the top 10. I mean, he's had one season. I
thought the Herbert thing stood out a lot. So this is the one guy that stood out the most to me. If you do this list and Matt Stafford is still with the Lions, he didn't sniff this list, does he?
No, he's never in the he's not even close to top 10 here.
So getting traded to a new team that we've never seen him play on, ever, we're just working under an assumption that he's instantly going to be in the conversation with these other guys for, like, MVP.
He's immediately going to be
top
6.
Now, I love Stafford, and this is not a knock on Stafford, but this is a knock on rankings and perception and everything else. If he was wearing the different shade of blue in Detroit, he wouldn't be anywhere close to this list.
Correct. It has everything to do with what's around.
But we traded him in the offseason to a team that we trust offensively and an organization and a coaching staff that we trust offensively, and we're working under assumptions that he's just going to fit like a hand in a glove.
Apparently so. I just
thought that was interesting.
I do think it's a little strange. You know, we've got Baker Mayfield that got some votes. We got Matt Ryan, who is always disrespected. We got, you know, I'm not even going to go as far as like Ben Roethlisberger and Derek Carr and all them, but you know, Joe Burrow, I thought he played really well when he wasn't getting blasted last year. But this is again a situation where you're wanting to see what he has around him. Otherwise, I thought Burrow was a top 10 quarterback last year. So
it's so hard. He didn't play a full season, and he played with one of the worst offenses around him possible. So it's just impossible.
He was still putting up crazy numbers on a team that didn't have any weapons.
Were stupid.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
His numbers were video game numbers. No, he was throwing, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns a game, you know, several hundred yards every game. I mean, it's just dumb.
But because he plays for a bad organization, we got to drop him out of the top 10. Baker Mayfield not being there after the way that he played down the stretch last season was a little crazy to me. You know, Kyler Murray coming in at 10, he didn't look great the second half of last season. And yes, he might have been a little hurt, but why are we giving him the benefit of the doubt and not, you know, Baker Mayfield, like who's been in the league a year long?
Yeah. I don't know. We've got some love for Kyler. Man, his MVP odds are just insane. People are picking them to win the Super Bowl or win the NFC or win that division.
That's insane.
I think that's insane.
Yes.
I think Kyler is a really good player. I think Kyler's a lot of fun to watch. I don't think he's close to this good. Now, I might be wrong. We're going to see. But I just thought we've gone too far.
I think so as well. These are people that are inside the NFL. Like, Dak Prescott at 7, coming off of that ankle injury, being ranked ahead of Lamar Jackson, like, I can't get there. I just don't get it. Like, there's a lot of love for Dak.
Now, if he never got hurt, okay, and we just go off of what we saw last year before he got hurt and the year before that, then I'm with you. I'm with you 100%, but that's not what they're doing. They're projecting what they think this year's going to look like with these guys, and I can't tell you Dak's just going to walk into an MVP caliber season.
No, me either. Me either. Let's close out the show. Let's go on and get out of here. Last topic, Dwayne Haskins. So you saw this story, right?
Yes, sir.
Injured in a domestic violence incident by his wife. Apparently, they were in Las Vegas. His wife has been charged with battery and domestic violence, which in this situation, unlike the Richard Sherman one, it actually was this. It resulted in bodily harm, a felony charge stemming from the incident that occurred July 3rd at the Cosmopolitan. His wife's name is Calabria Gondrezic Haskins. And apparently, his wife, like, punched him in the face. They knocked out part of his tooth in a hotel room. Like, it said that his injuries are substantial in nature. It was a split lip and a missing tooth. He was taken to a hospital due to facial injuries. And it said that he, they got married in March, and they were there to, like, I guess, renew their vows or whatever it is. I don't know. They were there to be together. Like, to celebrate each other, and she punched him right in the face, got the cops called on her. He had to go to the hospital. Like, this is a disaster. Like, I kind of, not even kind of, I feel bad for Dwayne Haskins, man.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. So, I've kind of ran the gamut of reading all the different stuff. Like, we shouldn't have to say this, but we live in a world where if you don't clarify everything, then you're just put in purgatory and you're just wished out into the cornfield. All domestic violence is bad. Okay,
yes.
It's not good. You shouldn't beat up your partner.
Yes.
Don't hit people. Okay, keep your damn hands to yourself. How about we just live like that? All right. So with that being said, I'm trying to understand the situation. Now this part does not get lost on me, and I think it needs to be said. Whatever the situation is that caused this, or escalated this, or however this we got to this point, Dwayne Haskins is a large man and a professional athlete. And I think at some point he showed great restraint in us not having any type of – he didn't do anything to hurt, all right?
Yes.
I'm a large guy. I'm not Dwayne Haskins in shape, and I'm not a very strong person of that nature. I'm very soft. But, like, I'm saying this with knowing the fact that this is the first podcast that my wife has ever listened to because she sat here right next to me while we're driving to the vet. There's nothing she could ever do to hurt me if I didn't want her to physically hurt me. Okay.
Yeah.
There is no way that she could do something to me like this if I didn't allow it to happen. All right. I'm that much stronger than her. Dwayne Haskins, I'm working under the assumption, is that much stronger than his wife to where he chose to take this punishment instead of stopping her, because stopping her would mean putting his hands on her. Okay. And that's not a good look, and it's a bad thing, and we don't want that. And I get that. So I appreciate that. But I also understand, I'm seeing it from my perspective, Gary. Okay.
Okay.
Something caused this to happen. Not that he had it coming, because if this was just switched around and it was a guy beating up a girl, you can't bring up why did he do it, all right? Because there's no justification for it, and violence is not the answer, and I get all that. But, you know, we live in a world of very gray areas, and I need to know what brought this about. Because had my wife ever wanted to punch me in the face and knock my teeth out, I'm going to guarantee you this. I had it coming, right? There's zero doubt in my mind that she wouldn't have done it if I didn't deserve it, okay?
Agreed.
Now, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for Dwayne and his lovely wife. But I'm just saying, I and it's none of my business, but I'd like some details if I could get some details. Because, I'm just curious.
Like,
you're
what,
there
what
to
the
renew
world
your vows, which... Yeah, you just got married in March, and we're already renewing vows. That's probably not a good sign at the way, you know, this thing's going to last. Wish them the best of luck. But, you know, there's some red flags here to say this thing might not have the legs to go the distance.
Yeah, it's possible. It's very possible. By the way,
this is the gamut of feelings that I have gone through today thinking about the Dwayne Haskins thing.
That's so his wife was actually a Michigan State women's basketball player. Her dad was a professional basketball player, Grant Gundrezik. This is, it ain't like she's, you know, some dainty little thing, man. You know, she's an athlete as well. But this is, this is pretty crazy. This is certainly crazy. I wish I knew what he could have done to cause that, because
we just work under this. So, like, that's the world we live in, right?
Yeah.
And I know that we're going to catch crap for saying that, because if it was the other way around and you asked, well, what did she do to cause him to smack her in the face and knock her teeth out? Like, everyone would see us as monsters.
Yeah.
But I know guys, and I understand relationships between men and women pretty well, to think that I think there's more to this story that we're not getting, and the part we're not getting, I'm gonna bet has some from being a guy who's been a moron most of my life. We're going to be able to laugh at that part because we all understand that part.
Yes,
right?
There was something dumb that happened that he did.
There's something dumb that happened that he did. But I'm gonna guess that we might be way wrong, and he's a complete and utter victim. And no matter what he did, let's just preface it by violence isn't the answer, and this is not how you handle it.
Correct.
That's fine. We're done. I'll get that. I'm not just saying that tongue-in-cheek.
I love how we have to clarify it. It's like, this should be common sense stuff.
I don't like violence. I don't hit people in the face. Let's just make that a rule that it doesn't matter what they did.
Simple enough.
Let's not hit people in the face.
That seems like it should be common sense, but alas, we live in a world where that is not always common sense. So, that's the way it goes.
I want to know all the story. I really hope we find out. I need to know what happened the hour before this leading up to it. That's what I want. I don't need the whole weekend. I don't need all the details. Just the hour before fist hit mouth.
Yes. All we would need is just a smidge of information, and we could draw conclusions from the rest of it. That's what we need.
That's right.
Maybe
not
we can get
that makes
one
it okay, but what was it, the old Chris Rock story? You know, I'm not saying it's okay, but I understand.
You are correct. You are correct. All right, let me let you go on and get out of here, and then I will wrap up the show. So I will holler at you later.
See you, buddy.
All right, that is it for Winning Cures Everything for today. You guys have been absolutely fantastic. There was a lot to discuss today. So make sure that you check out winningcureseverything.com. SBRPicks.com/NCAAF. That is your one-stop shop for all of your college football gambling information. And it will be all season long. So make sure that you go and check that out. Going to be some changes and whatnot. This is going to be the first time that we do a pre-recorded stream, I guess. I'm going to put this out on Friday, and we shall see what ends up happening with it. But, you know, we're going to be changing some stuff around, trying to get some contests going again. Our Pick'em contest we didn't do last year, but we've got some, you know, some new sponsors and whatnot that we'll be working with heading into football season. So we want to make sure that we've got everybody taken care of. Again, subscribe where you need to subscribe. The YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your podcast app is, go and check it out there. Subscribe and share the show out. Tell your friends about it, all that good stuff. And I think that's going to do it for today's show. So you guys take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this weekend.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.